Good morning, Central. It is great being with you this morning, wherever you are. This is week number six of being online, not gathering in person live to be with you. And I just want to say I miss you. I miss standing out outside the worship center and shaking your hand or giving you a hug as you walk into worship. I miss looking at your face as I preach the word and I watch the Holy Spirit talking to you about adjustments in your life, conviction, direction. I miss in between and after services, standing out and talking with you and catching up on what's happening in your life. I miss just being with you. It's not the same. And I know many of you feel the same way, that you long to be back in the building with the church. And I do too. So wherever you are today, just know that you're loved. We love you. We care about you. We're glad you're tuning in online. We wish it was live, but we'll make the best of it for right now. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for scripture that teaches and corrects and instructs us in the right way to live. And Lord, I pray this morning for all those that are listening to this message that you would, by the Holy Spirit, open their hearts and open their ears spiritually today to hear your voice. And God, that your voice would come through my voice today, that your words would come through my words today, Lord, that people would hear from you today and be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. We are starting a new series called Street Smarts. It's a study in the book of Proverbs. The title simply means in Proverbs, God's wisdom is described as a way or a path. And so we're going to be talking about street, God's wisdom in this day and age and what that looks like in the book of Proverbs. And each week we're going to be looking at a different proverb, a different topic or a cluster of proverbs around a theme and share what God's heart is for that area of our lives. What is a proverb? A biblical proverb is a short sentence about God's way to live life, and that's important. It's God's way to live, not our own way. We have to be seeking the way that God wants us to live life. The book of Proverbs is part of the Old Testament that's called Hebrew Poetry and Wisdom Literature. And we're going to throw a slide up here of the entire Old Testament so you can see the different genres or breakdowns of the books of the Old Testament. So that very first column, we have 17 what we're going to call historical books, because they give a narrative of the history of humanity and then Israel. The first five books are special, and they're called the Law, the Torah, the books of Moses, because in that, God gave Moses on Mount Sinai his law, his eternal law for people. There's five books that are called Hebrew poetry or wisdom, and the Proverbs is part of that grouping of books. And then there's another 17 prophetical books, five books written by what they're called major prophets. They have to do with the length of the book, and then 12 minor prophets. So we're looking at a book that's about wisdom. And the first three verses of Proverbs really tell us the purpose of the whole book. And I want to read that this morning from the New American Standard Version. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern or understand the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, in righteousness, justice, and equity." He begins by saying the purpose of the book is to understand wisdom, that is, how to live life, and instruction. Instruction is teaching. That speaks of God's moral truth. To understand right and wrong behavior in life situations. So Proverbs isn't just a book of good suggestions. It's not just helpful advice without moral requirements or expectations. Proverbs integrates God's moral law with real life or everyday life. I like what Paul Koptak says about it. He says, in general, we can say that wisdom involves knowing what to do in a given situation. Skill in crafts, that's like our vocation or our work, or skill in living well, Both require that a person has learned how to do the right thing. The book of Proverbs is about how to do the right thing in a number of different areas in life. So I want you to know this morning, as we jump into this teaching in Proverbs, that wisdom has a moral component. It reveals the right way and the wrong way to do things. Did you know there's actually a right way to live life according to God, and there's a wrong way to live life according to God? So to not do what God asks us to do or expects us to do in the wisdom literature is sin. It's not just something that we can pick and choose if we want, or if we, you know, that sounds like really good advice. No, there's a moral element to it, and we need to take it more seriously than we do. So as we go through the book of Proverbs, there's going to be a number of topics. And so as we look at this, we have to personalize it. So if wisdom is seen in patience, which we'll discover in Proverbs, how does that affect single people that are hoping to be married, that are waiting for the right person to come along? How does patience affect their life? How does patience affect the business owner right now with COVID-19 that's waiting for their business to kick in again? Proverbs speaks of patience. If wisdom in Proverbs means being slow to anger, how does that affect parents with teenagers, parents with challenging children? If part of living this life of wisdom is being slow to anger, how does that affect driving the streets of Sioux Falls, South Dakota? Come on, somebody. If we're to be slow to anger, if that's part of God's plan for our lives, if wisdom means being teachable, being willing to receive correction and instruction, what does that mean for the middle schooler or the high schooler that thinks that they know everything? It means they have to change the way they're living now to apply themselves to God's word. We have to see Proverbs as God's moral truth, not just good advice that we can take or leave. And friends, I'd have to say, if we ever needed the wisdom to know how to live life as God intended, it's right now in these times. These are really confusing times. And people are looking for an understanding of how to live in craziness, how to live in the world that we are in right now. And I want to begin this journey in Proverbs by looking at what Proverbs says about our words, the things that we say, that which comes out of our mouth. You know, words determine our future. Think about the words that you share in a job interview. Well, that could profoundly affect your future. Think about the words that you share on a first date. That could profoundly affect your future. Think about the words that you share in a sales presentation. That could affect your future as well. But words also affect our present. They determine the health of our marriages. Words determine the success of our parenting. Words determine the quality of our friendships. Words influence our success. Our words determine how well our team performs, how much our students learn, how well we move our organization forward. Words have profound impact on our lives. And so as you walk away this morning, here's what I want you to lay hold of. The book of Proverbs teaches that words are more powerful than we think. Words are more powerful than we think. So what does God say about our words? The first thing that I want to draw to your attention this morning from the book of Proverbs is that words should be used cautiously. Words should be used cautiously. And the scripture is a pretty well-known scripture to many of you that are familiar with the Bible. If you're not, maybe you've even heard this verse before. It's Proverbs 18:21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue," or the words that we speak. "Now, those who love it will eat its fruit." That verse tells us that words have the power to kill or to impart life, to either build up or destroy. This verse means that if we really understood the power of our words, we'd be more cautious when we speak. See, we typically just kind of blurt out words without much thought or without much consideration. Here's the problem with not having a filter on what we say. Proverbs 10:19, another proverb about words, says, "When words are many, sin is unavoidable." In other words, the more you talk, the more likely you are to unintentionally kill something. The more words you speak, the more likely you are to sin. The more words you speak, the more likely you are to hurt someone or to hurt a situation. So the first time, I'm from California, Southern California. The only people that have guns are cops and bad guys. And so I wasn't used to hunting. And so when the guys here in South Dakota took me out pheasant hunting for the very first time, I had to learn what's called shotgun protocol. They had to teach me about how to shoot a gun and what some of the rules of engagement were when you go out with a group of guys to hunt. Because guns can be really dangerous. They have power. I was told that you never point the barrel of a gun at a person, ever. You always point it at the ground or up in the air. I was told that when you're shooting the gun at a bird, that there has to be blue sky under the target. In other words, you're shooting up. You're not shooting down. You shoot up to avoid people. I was told that I had to walk the field with the safety catch on my gun at all times. I asked why that was, why I couldn't just leave that off. And they said that you could stumble, you could slip, you could fall. And we don't want any accidental shots going off. No random shots, only shots that are intentional. They said to me, don't shoot the gun until you hear the word rooster. Because if you shoot a hen, it's against the law and you could be fined for doing that. So hold your shot until we tell you if it's an appropriate shot or not. And then I was told that if you shoot and a bird goes down, just act like you shot the bird. Just take credit for it. And I did that over and over because I don't think I ever really hit the birds, but I took a lot of credit for hitting them. See, wisdom requires that we think before we speak and that we walk with a safety catch on our mouth instead of firing accidentally. Jesus had something to say about words that we speak. He affirmed that words are very powerful. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus said, "But I tell you that every careless word," think about that, "every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." You will give an account on judgment day for every careless word that you speak. The word careless there means lazy, not thoughtful, not intentional, or counterproductive. It means inconsistent with righteous living. Words that are counterproductive to the mission. Words that don't help you with living a righteous life. Profanity and filthy talk are careless words, and they kill our witness for Christ. I can't say that enough, that the Christian man or the Christian woman that speaks profanity, those around you that don't know Christ, it just ruins your spiritual influence, because they want to know how someone that follows a holy God would not be able to control the words that they speak. And it just kills, it destroys, it brings death to your witness in Christ. Negative words are careless and counterproductive to our mission. Complaining and being negative are counterproductive to who we are as Christians. We're to be the light of the world, the hope of the world. And, you know, gossip, talking about people behind their backs, sharing untruths about people is careless, and it destroys lives. Words are powerful, the book of Proverbs tells us. And I think we'd be more careful and more cautious about the words that we speak if we really understood that every careless word we will have to give an account for on Judgment Day, that God takes seriously the words that come out of our mouths. You see, words are far more powerful than we think. The second thing I see in the book of Proverbs about our words is that words should be used to inspire. Words should be used to inspire. Listen to what Proverbs says in Proverbs 12:25. "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes that heart glad." Anxiety crushes the heart. A good word, a positive word, lifts a person and gives them gladness and joy. Anxiety is deep emotional stress caused by the fear of losing something. Anxiety is like carrying a heavy burden that steals your energy for living. And many of you have struggled with anxiety. It's like you don't have the energy to go through the day. You don't have the energy with basic tasks because anxiety is crushing the life out of you. People are weighed down with anxiety today. People are anxious about the future. They're anxious about their families. But the wisdom of Proverbs says there's a cure for anxiety, a good word. Anxiety weighs a heart down. It crushes it under its weight. But a good word brings gladness and relief from the anxiety that people are experiencing. Is that verse as amazing to you as it is to me? I think about the power of that verse. Do you realize the power of our words as it comes to something like anxiety in a person's life? Proverbs says life and death are in the power of the tongue. A good word can free a person from the crushing weight of anxiety. What words do you speak to people that are under the weight of life, that are struggling through life? Are your words bringing joy and gladness? Are your words lifting them out of the place that they are? Are your words inspiring them to a higher place in life? That's the power of our words, according to the book of Proverbs. Are you saying things like, you're not a burden. You're a blessing to God. God cares about you. Do you say things like, God has so much more for your life than what you're experiencing right now? He wants to move you to a better place. Do you ever say things to people like, I have so much confidence in you. God's going to work this thing out in your life. You're one of the sharpest people that I know. I know that God's going to move you to another place in life. Do you ever say things like that and lift people up in their lives? Do you ever say things like, even if you don't see God working in your life, I do. I see God's doing great things in your life. I'm so excited about what God wants to do in and through your life. Do you ever say things like, God doesn't want you to live in the realm of anxiety. He wants you to experience joy and gladness. That's His plan. That's His purpose for your life. A good word can replace anxiety with joy and hope. Can I ask today, are you using the power of your words to inspire people to a higher place, to lift them out of the doldrums that they are, the dark place that they are, and lift them to a higher place of life that God wants them to live? That's what God intends for our words, friends. Words are way more powerful than we think. And the third thing I want to share about words, not only are we to speak words cautiously, and not only are we to speak words that inspire people, but our words should be used in season. In season. And by season, I mean the context or the situation that people are in. In other words, our words should be timely to life experience. It should be relevant to what people are going through at the time. And the scripture in Proverbs that I want to draw out is Proverbs 15:23. It says, a man has joy in an apt answer. And how delightful is a timely word? How delightful is a timely word? A word in season. Have you ever shared something with someone, said something to someone, and they said, wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear. That's a timely word. A word in season, a word that steps into the moment that they're living and gives hope or gives encouragement. It's the right word for the season that they're in. It's very similar to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, that says this. Paul says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only a word that's good for edification. That means to build up, according to the need of the moment, say of the moment, according to the need of the moment, that it will give grace to those who hear. Paul is saying the exact same thing. Let your words give grace in the moment of need. It's the right word in the moment. What are people going through that you know right now because of COVID-19? What is it that's making them anxious? What is it that's freaking them out right now? What do you think God wants to say to them in this season, in this moment? What do you think God wants to encourage them in this time? What would a timely word be for them right now? You see, timely words free us from the fears and the uncertainties of the season that we find ourselves in. I think preachers, guys that are called to preach the Bible, to preach God's truth, I think that preachers are considered great not because of eloquence, but because of timing. Because they bring a word or a message from God, not just that is theologically correct, but is a word for the moment, a word for that time, a word for that season. Pastor Neil Downey and I had planned a series, a teaching series, a four-week teaching series, and we had talked about it and planned for it, and it was supposed to begin the week that we first went online, when all of this broke loose in our society, and we couldn't meet together, and COVID-19 hit, and everyone was anxious and wondering what's going to happen. And we made a decision, and we said, we need to just postpone that teaching series, and we need to speak a word in the moment. And so we began to talk about less is more, to address the issue at hand, to hopefully speak a word in season, a timely message. I love to preach God's word, and I love it when people afterwards say something like, "Wow, how did you know? That's exactly what I needed to hear." And it's not that I know that, it's that the Holy Spirit kind of guides us in that, and the Holy Spirit will guide you. You may never preach a sermon, but you may speak into the life of someone in at work next to you, someone in your neighborhood, a good friend of yours over the phone or whatever, that you may speak a message in God's timing, in the right season. What are you asking God to help you to do that, to bring timely messages into people's lives? It seems that I'm always dealing at any day of my life with some uncertainty, with some point of anxiousness or concern in my life. Maybe it's related to my health. Maybe something's gone a little south and I'm wondering if things are going to be okay. Maybe it's related to finances or my retirement. I'm getting up there in age and starting to have insecurity. Am I going to be able to care for my wife? Am I going to be able to care for my family? How much longer can I go on? And what about the investments that I've made? And there's points of insecurity and concern about those things. I wonder and I get insecure about whether I'm doing a good job here. Like, am I pastoring well? Am I leading well? Am I doing the things that God called me to do? Am I being successful with the ministry that God's called me to? Am I being a good influence on my family? Are my kids and my grandkids, are they feeling the full influence that God wants me to give? And I get worried about that. I get insecure about those things. And there's uncertainty in my life. And I love when people, usually without even knowing, step into that moment in my life and speak words that give me courage, that give me hope, that give me peace. A timely word, Proverbs said, is an amazing thing. It brings joy and gladness into our lives. When people step into our lives in the moment, in the season, and speak life into us. I got a text message just a couple of days ago from someone in the church, and they had shared with me how the sermons for the last few months had really impacted them. And then they said this, based on those sermons, "What an amazing preparation for where we are today. Thank you for your obedience to God. Thank you for being in tune with the Holy Spirit. And thank you for your message as a leader. For those that chose to listen and heed your guidance, you've led them well." Like, are you kidding me? I mean, I'm sitting here with all of this uncertainty about leadership and am I doing the right thing? And I get this text message. Someone steps into my world of insecurity in the moment without even knowing what I was dealing with. Someone steps in and brings this timely word into my life. What if you were that kind of friend? What if you were that kind of person? The friend that leans into people's lives and understands the season that they find themselves in. What if you made it your mission to be sensitive to the season that those around you are in? And as you find and understand that season, that you pray and ask God to help you speak a word, a timely message, something of encouragement into that relevant moment for them. Be the husband, be the wife, be the friend, be the leader, be the coworker, be the coach, be the friend who speaks the right word in the right season. How beautiful, how delightful is a timely word. Friend, as we continue to dive into the Proverbs, I just want to leave you with this. Proverbs says a number of other things about words, but three things it says. One, we are to use words cautiously because they have great power to give life or to destroy. We are to use our words to inspire others to greatness, to lift them out of anxiety, uncertainty. And we're to be those that share timely words. We step into the world of someone in season, and we bring a message of hope that God might have for them. So here's my ask as we bring this to a close. I'm asking you to step up for the next 30 days. I'm challenging you to what we're calling the Street Smarts 30-Day Challenge. And here's what it is. I'm going to ask if you would be willing to read one chapter of Proverbs every day for 30 days. Now, we're going to begin this tomorrow, which is April 20th. And so you're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 20, and every day you're going to read one chapter of Proverbs. Now, when we get to April 30th, you're going to read two chapters. You're going to read chapter 30 and 31 because there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Would you be willing to do that? That's the first step. Would you be willing to read one chapter of Proverbs every day for 30 days to get into the Word of God, to read it, and to begin to study it? If you're willing to do that, I'm going to ask you to do one other thing. I'm going to ask you to get some kind of journal or composition notebook or some way to write something down every day. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to read that chapter in Proverbs. And then as you read that, I want you just to highlight the verses, the Proverbs, the individual Proverbs that stand out to you. And I want you to write those in that journal with the reference, Proverbs 20, verse 3. And then write the proverb. And then I want you to do two other things. I want you to sort of give it a topic heading: patience, marriage, parenting, laziness, whatever the theme of is that proverb. Just write that down. And then write down what you think the proverb means or how it applies to your life. You might have one that day, you might have three that day, you might have five that day. But you're going to read through the book of Proverbs and you're going to come to a point where you say, this is what God's saying to me. Write them down. Give it a title, you know, whatever the topic is, and then what does that mean to you, or how are you going to apply that in your life? Now, we purchased some composition notebooks, a few hundred of those. They're going to be available in our office area beginning hopefully on Monday, or for sure on Tuesday. And if you don't have one, you can come by, pick one up per adult if you need that. The last thing that you can do is this. Every day in the evening, our Facebook page is going to put a new post up there. And we're asking you, to those of you that are taking this 30-day challenge, to go on that Facebook page and to share one of the Proverbs that you wrote down in your journal and what it means to you. And so that day, there's going to be only Proverbs from that chapter, the day corresponding to the date. Does that make sense? So you're going to read the Proverbs, you're going to journal, and then if you want, you can go on our Facebook page at night and you can post your Proverb and what you think. And it's going to be great to see all the different things that God's speaking to people throughout our congregation. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for the power of your word, and thank you for the power of our words, and help us to be wise with the words that we choose. Help us to build people up and not tear people down, to use our words cautiously to inspire others and to share things that are going to be timely in people's lives. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. I just want to end this morning by sharing a word of blessing over you in line with what we talked about today. May the Holy Spirit remind you each moment of the power of your words. May your words give life and not cause death. May your words inspire the weak and make the fearful glad. For a man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. God bless you. Amen.